You're listening to the World's Robert Crichton podcast. New audio freshly delivered every week, direct from me, Robert Crichton. If you like this audio, consider becoming a patron. Go to patreon.com/Robert Crichton to help support my work. And now, your podcast. The UN Special Representative by Robert Crichton. He was awakened by the ringing of bells. A ding-dong, ding-dong with a buzz-buzz, all mixed together with a low-level bloop-bloop. The sharp ding-dongs came from far away and down below, while the buzzes and bloops were of the app variety. Mobile phone alerts from social media leapfrogging one another, as only social media can when it's at its most antisocial. The singular ringing of the doorbell was the most jarring, jolting him awake and disturbing their slumber. His partner, in bed beside him, started to stir and groan. She wasn't quite awake yet, but if that ringing didn't stop soon, it would not be good. Panicked, he rolled out of bed, phone in hand, struggling into a dressing gown while checking the time. It was 3:16 a.m., for b**** sake, he muttered. Ding dong, the doorbell replied. I'm coming! Lights on, stairs to descend, and 14 new messages, comments, alerts on all the platforms. What's up, WhatsApp? It's 3 in the morning. This felt bad, but in a distanced somebody else kind of way. Something was obviously very wrong with the Twitterverse. Bolt pulled noises off, and he opened the door onto the open morning. Mister? And a female voice in the darkness said his name. Yes, it is, he unbellowed, as loud as not loud can be. Oh, good, the voice replied with a sigh of relief. We got the wrong address earlier. Upset quite a few people. There were 6 of them, he saw. 6 figures in the dark. 6 people, 4 women, 2 men, black overcoats, black cases. Serious cases for serious people for a serious time of day. Someone's died, he thought. Someone is very dead. The female voice was still speaking. We're very sorry to wake you, but we need to talk. May we come in? Are you the police? He asked. Worried glances and a just perceptible shuffle from the group at that, though the leader remained poised. I'm sorry to wake you, she said, but we're from the UN. The UN? I'm the UN Special Representative, and you need our help. He said nothing. His brain was busy repeating the word, what? A lot. Something terrible has happened, she continued, picking up the slack and slowly edging forward. And you're the next victim. We need to come in now. He was about to shut the door, slam away the mad people, but at that moment his partner, disturbed kraken-like from deep slumber, hissed from the landing. Who is it? The UN! He sotto voce'd back, but in his haste turn to reply, opened a way for the UN rapid response team to scootle past him and deploy into the living room. As they fanned out, his partner gave up all pretense at volume control and sharped back, What the are you talking about? The UN? As in the United Nations? What the actual And her words were lost as she disappeared from the landing to find some clothes. Have you seen the news? The UN Special Representative asked, decloaked from the outer darkness and present. The news? No, he said. Not since last night. Is that your phone? It was, buzzing rampantly, bleeping, blooping, and generally R2D2ing in his sweaty palm. 72 messages, alerts, threads, chatter. The Special Representative had the phone out of his hand and scrolling before he could say a few choice bleeps of his own. We should look at your updates first. This could be unpleasant for you. And she passed the phone across to her team, for the living room was now full with her people, all giving a studied appearance of being quite at home. It wasn't a large room, so they filled the space, but moving smoothly around each other with a bravura display of domestic freebasing. Six interlopers evading each other as they staked claims to sofas, tables, and land-grabbed carpet space with the neo-colonial elan. Laptops glid open, tablets swept active, and coats shed prone. Sans their outwear, they looked of less imposing import, more commune communing come for a drink. Rather than razor-sharp suits, workwear worn to impress, the invaders were all hasty thrown on clothing choices of another context. Cardigans, t-shirts, party wear, and... was that a nightshirt? The special representative herself was wearing a deeply unseasonal Christmas jumper, the red nose of Rudolph flashing a warning sympathetic tempo to the rat-a-tat disco beat of the questions throwing and toing a team. Are you okay? Do you want some tea? Do you have Wi-Fi broadband? Do you have any health problems? Do you have a toilet downstairs? Fine, no, yes, yes, none of your business, down there to the right. Who were these people? He hadn't asked for any ID. They could be anyone. They could be criminals. They could max his data usage. What the hell is going on? He thought he'd asked. Except he didn't. He opened his mouth to say the words, but his partner got in first. What the hell is going on? She hissed. Though the hell might have been more like and the hiss more a bellow. Taking the stairs two at a time, dressing gown tight and bunny slippered, she advanced, the non-conforming incursionists in her living room not to be welcomed. But the special representative was ready for her, charm factor 5 on a mission to disarm. We're very sorry about the intrusion, but something very bad has happened. We're here to help. A sudden fear stopped her advance. Has something happened to Dad? She asked, remembering her father's weak heart. No, nothing to do with your family, just his. In a sense, the incident has nothing to do with you, except in your conjunction with him. Charming, they thought together. We're a conjunction. But your association means the incident may have an effect on your life. I'm afraid your life will never quite be the same again. What's happened? They asked in unison chorus, mutually protective arms sheltering proximate waists. The special representative nodded to her number 2, a short woman who evidently had been plucked from some sort of a nightclub, an old-school rave with whistle and day-glow vibe, though the ensemble might have been worn with irony. It's so difficult to tell these days. Flicking her tablet with impatience, she read swiftly, casually, perhaps wishing to rejoin the party. At 12:15 a.m. a mass shooting incident occurred at blah blah blah. Explosive devices were used to create confusion, yada yada yada. Over 50 people confirmed dead, expected to rise. That's awful, they couple said together. But, he added, what has this to do with me? The fluorescent technician turned the face of her tablet to show a live news feed from the faceless online, and he stared at the words and the image. The picture of a face and a name. He didn't recognise the face. He didn't see what any of this had to do with him. And then he felt his partner's grip on his side tighten. She had read the headline faster than he. Holy b***, she said. You've got the same name. He did. The screen face and he both shared the exact same name. We're very sorry, said the special representative. The name of a suspect doesn't usually get out this quickly. That's the modern media thing. We'd hoped to give you a bit more time to adjust. Who are you? The couple ululated softly. Today, I'm Shannon, and I'm the UN Special Representative. She handed them a card. The UN didn't stand for the United Nations. It stood for the unfortunately named. You're one of us now, she said. Please, let us help you. It seemed like no time passed between their reading the card and his being bundled into a car rushing away into London at a speed impossible at any other time of day, and inadvisable even in the wee small hours. A few moments from relative peace, their bed a soft, cocooning memory foam of memory, to calls erupting around him, angry, concerned, urgent words, faces of their keepers haloed by glowing screens in the back of a magisterial, though second-hand, SUV. Still, the questions came on, the most intransigent of word flies on this most annoying of conversational hot days. Have you a large family? Can you take a day off work? How many social media accounts do you have? Do you really use the same password for every account? Stop! He didn't quite shout. Is this really going to be so bad? The UN Special Representative gave him a look that attempted, not unsuccessfully, to mix reassurance with the reality of some deep shit come. It was an odd look. You can try to do the look yourself if you like, but it's probably best to assume that you just had to be there. Anyway, was it really going to be so bad? He unshouted. Impossible to say at this stage, but we think it's best to be prepared. We've had cases beyond abuse and occasional violence. Violence? It's not unknown. The threat, knee in the knackers, the odd brick or firebomb. Firebomb? Not to worry. There's a reason we left Ms. Viking back at the house with your partner. She has the advantage of being half martial arts master and half brick shithouse. She can deal with anything. Physical. She broke off her hard times reassurances to get an update from the team. How's the internet going? A fair smattering of the actively abusive, though enough people have twigged her a different person. The remaining team all fired off data and information and things that our hero, or should we call him our victim, all things that our hero didn't follow. So he tried a question again. How did you find me? The Dayglow technician, whose name badge, they all had name badges, labelled her as Trafalgar, answered, still not really looking up from her tablet phones. How did we find you? We Googled you. We monitor world events, cross-reference names with electoral rolls, Facebook, Twitter. It's so much easier than in the old days. Apparently it was all looking through newspapers and telephone directories. We must have been really rubbish then. So it's your job to help people with unfortunate names. Yes, said Shannon, who also had a name badge. It said Shannon, helpfully. Most of our members have changed their names from a really famous one, inappropriate film stars, fictional characters, or occasional murderers. How's Twitter looking? 170 borderline death threats so far, answered Trafalgar, whip-smart though really bored quick. He tried to look over at the screen, but Shannon stopped him. Don't want to look. Yes, I do. No, you don't. It isn't nice. I can take it. Maybe you can, but it isn't worth it. That, she said, waving her arm generally at the screens, that isn't directed at you. It's missent mail intended for a mass murderer. But if you read it, it still hurts. You don't think it will, but it will. And it isn't worth putting yourself through that kind of pointless experience. You don't need to defend yourself from them. The mass burble of hate that breeds in the online. That's what we're here for. We're your filter. But, he said, trust us. We know what we're doing. The UN isn't just an early warning signal, it's a retreat. Kind of private club and support group. We all share a similar experience. We've all been there. We've all sat in your seat, all worn your shoes. But I'm not wearing shoes, he wanted to say, as he was still in his slippers. He wanted to say, but they had arrived. He had been worried in the car, what with all this talk of private clubs in a sort of secret society, that this was going to end up costing him something, that this was some sort of elaborate scam. but he was reassured by the sight of the UN building, which was less big public forum for international affairs and more a hidden private entrance behind a fish and chip shop in Cockfosters. Despite the lowly exterior, the interior was bright and welcoming. There was a desk and a big jar filled with badges. Shannon went straight to the crumpled man manning the desk and asked for a first-time visitor badge. "Before we begin, we need to give you a name tag." The man manning the desk, whose own tag said Rockall, didn't take a badge from the jar, but handed her one from a drawer. "This is just a temporary name, just for within the club. Normally you choose one at random from the cookie jar, but newbies all get the same name, so we know who you are. Everyone then knows you're new to the whole business. It gives you a few liberties." "Isn't this a bit silly?" our hero victim asked. "Yes, part of the reason we do it. It's fun. Transitory. We can come here and play at being a silly name. Not our unfortunate name, not an assumed name, a silly name. This month, we're all shipping forecast zones," Shannon added, as Southwark-Zero, Cromarty and Fastnet walked past. "Which shipping forecast zone do I get?" "Oh, you don't. You get to be Mr. Ampersand."
"Mr. Ampersand?"
"Yes."
"Is this a one-size-fits-all name?"
"Exactly. Ampersand fits the long and the reassuringly small. It was the first house name used by our founder. Since then, all new arrivals are called Ampersand."
"And who was your founder?"
The man manning the desk lightly bristled at the question. "That's not the sort of question you ask here," Shannon gently reproached.
"Oh?
You're new, you have the liberty. Let's just say the first Mr. Ampersand was a general practitioner."
"Shipman?"
"We're a little older than that. It was Crippin. Before he became Mr. Ampersand, he was a general practitioner somewhere north of Lincoln. When the news of his namesake broke, again and again in the newspapers and books of his day, he was almost ruined, so he made a new name for himself, sold up his practice, and made a few lucky investments. This is his legacy." And with a flourish, Shannon opened the doors into the unfortunately named council chamber. The grand tour of the room didn't take long, as it wasn't a particularly large room. There were some 2 dozen people of various sizes, some reading papers in overstuffed armchairs, some playing cards next to a bar. It had an air placed somewhere between a faded old school gentleman's club and a care home, just with better Wi-Fi. But Shannon was correct about the playfulness of the UN. Everyone said, "Hello!" in an exaggerated, slightly manic way. "Hello, Mr. Ampersand. Lovely to meet you, Ms. Irish Sea. How do you like the place, Mr. Ampersand?" "I like it fine, Mr. Hebrides." And there were lots of other little comments and comforts like, "One day at a time, Mr. Ampersand. We're always here for you, Mr. Ampersand. A rose by any other name, Mr. Ampersand." Which did make him feel just a little bit better. Mostly he didn't ask questions, taking the hint dropped that answered questions wasn't the point of the institution, but he couldn't help but use his license to ask about a large portrait hanging over the bar. "Who's the picture of?"
"An honorary member. He can't be with us."
"He's dead?"
"No, he just isn't allowed to travel. His name, due to a typo on his birth certificate, translates as terrorist."
"That is unfortunate."
"Yes, they won't let him leave a certain country, or even change his name, so we honour him. From a distance. The most unfortunate of names."
There was a long, awkward silence, as everyone thought of the unfortune associated with their names. And then, just as swiftly, the room was burbling happily again. All so nice. Pathologically nice. But then he realised they had all come in especially for him.
and it was 5:30 in the morning. This was an excess of coffee, lack of sufficient sleep, keep going for another hour, nice. And he felt a little bad for his eternal internal critics stamping on their group welcome. Except that one man wasn't being nice. He sat alone in an armchair in the corner. Shannon had introduced him to everyone else, but seemed to have deliberately steered clear of this one man. "You haven't introduced me to him yet?" "Oh, that's, She peered briefly across the room to read the label. German bite. Christ, he really does pick 'em. He got Dogger yesterday. Don't talk to him."
"Why?"
"Well, we all have some difficulty with names, some more than others. Many of us have changed our names in the real world to get away from the connotations. You hope that lightning won't strike twice. German bite, he's, well, had to change his name a few more times than most."
"How many?"
17. 17. 17 times."
"That's unfortunate."
"Very. Every time he gets a new name settled in, someone pops up on the news with it bold as brass, and, well, he's naturally inclined to be quite a private person, likes to be left alone, so the constant attention his names get him, it's driven him to be a little, tetchy. Insane. 17 times. We secretly take bets when his next will pop up. He spends all his time, poor thing, trying to devise a name that cannot become famous or infamous or noticeable. It's driven him a little mad."
"I'm not mad," said German Bite, suddenly.
The room fell silent. Everyone froze. Any second our hero expected the room to clear, the bartender to duck behind the bar. But instead the old man tapped the wing of his armchair. "Come, sit with me." And so our hero victim moved to sit with German Bite, whose bark was just as bad. At home, his partner was sitting discussing her options with brick shithouse emulator and horse enthusiast Ms. Viking. It was lucky she hadn't gone with her partner to the UN building. She was full of questions, but Ms. Viking was running out of answers. "So what about a name like Wayne?" she asked. "Is that classified as an unfortunate name?"
"No,"
she said, patience thinly.
"But what if he were called Wayne King?"
"No."
"But that's quite unfortunate."
"No, that's just an amusing name. It's not the same thing. Your parents would have named you that by malice of forethought. Any Joe King can be created that way. This is about the unfortunately named, where circumstance changes the associations with a name when a public name goes wrong."
"Right."
They sat in silence for a moment, staring at their coffee cups, empty and cold.
"So, what happens now?"
"Ultimately, that's up to him, though you will need to be prepared for his decision. It can hit the partner harder than you'd think." There was no reply to that, just a frown.
"My name," Ms. Viking picked up, "isn't unfortunate."
"Isn't it? What are your qualifications, then?"
"I'm an associate member only. My wife had the unfortunate name, and I helped her through it, or I tried to. I wasn't very good at it, and it wasn't an easy time. I know what it is like to find yourself with someone you don't want to name, with someone whose name you love has suddenly to change. It is, perhaps, shallow, but you want to call them something that they, perhaps, want to forget. It's different for everyone. But it is weird. And it can be damaging to your relationship."
The silence that fell had a solid quality to it. She listened to all its edges and contours, whilst swirling the dregs of her cup.
"Yeah," she said.
That's not going to happen. Though I think you're right about one thing.
This is quite weird.
She got up, taking the cups and placing them amongst all the others, unwashed in the sink. Shall we go?
I'm not mad, German Bite continued. I'm just very, very cross.
Our hero, victim, had been trapped in awkwardness for an hour as Bite gave a complete breakdown of his unfortunate history of names. It wasn't a narrative history. It was a stony, brittle silence, punctuated with random ejaculations of Charles Manson and other famous or infamous names. Silence would fall again, and our hero thought it might be a chance for escape. But at the slight tinkle of his empty coffee cup and
Christopher
would be announced to the room. The rest of the UN had all drifted away and left him to their resident Jonah, taking this as their cue to get home or out to work. Little waves, little goodbyes, but mostly it was more soul-destroying bites from their un-Germanic German. They all like to pretend that it can't happen to them again, but I'm here to remind them of the true horror of fate. Our hero, victim, tried to make eye contact with someone else, but the room clearing, there were no eyes to return his gaze, and he was trapped.
I was called Savile for a while.
That was in the '70s, and I stuck with it for a bit, but he was just a bit too famous at the time, and who wants the hassle? But then, when he died, I got a bit nostalgic for the name, thought, why not go back? It was an old name, lost its edge a bit. It wouldn't be too bad, and then when the paperwork was barely through, the scandals came out, and bam, twice! To get burnt by the same name twice!
Really? Our hero victim replied, trying politely not to yawn.
My last name. Harry, I thought. That's nice and dull. I mean, no one could choose that if they liked name. Harry Styles. Christ!
Indeed, our hero victim replied, eyes shooting darts of panic across the room to Shannon, who just looked right back, a slight curl to the corner of her mouth.
The name before that, German Bite continued.
I went out there. Really stupid. Let's go out there and choose a stupid name that no one would use. Bieber. Christ.
Bite slumped in his chair, the anger oozing into resignation. Our hero, too, slumped, his resignation oozing into resignation.
There's a girl in Scandinavia without a name,
Bite continued, chin resting on his chest.
They have state-sanctioned names, and they wouldn't let her mother use the one she wanted, so her official name was Girl. For years, I'm that close. Man. That's it. But I can't do that. Then I'd be a Mr. Man. Oh, that won't work.
And just as our hero victim was about to scream out, I'm going to get another drink, to forcibly disengage from the Grinch who stole names, he heard Bite begin to snore. He peeled out of the chair and crossed to remonstrate with the only other person left in the room, Shannon, who was laughing.
Sorry about that. He's a rite of passage.
You're a mean, mean person.
Only first thing. Coffee?
He accepted the cup gracefully, sipping it in time with the snores across the room. So what's your name? He asked her.
That's not a question we ask here, Mr. Ampersand.
I know, but I thought...
You'd ask anyway.
Yeah.
You want to know my real name?
She gave him a pitying look.
What is real? Here our real name is whatever we choose.
We can escape our unfortune here. But out there, out of those doors, your name will always be what it was. We know that in the real world our real name will always, always be whatever our parents chose for us. Because in the real world it doesn't matter what I call myself. The question will always be, yeah, but what's your real name? Or it'll be such and such who changed their name from whatever. Out there, outside this sanctuary, our names hang round our necks like millstones, Mr. Ampersand. But not here.
I'm sorry, he said. I'm very new to this, and we understand.
We do. We all do.
And it's Myra, for your information.
That's a lovely name.
Hindley.
Oh.
I was 10. You'd think in the world before the internet that it wouldn't be too bad. But children can be very cruel. The UN didn't have a policy in place for protecting children. Not then, but we're better now. Because I wrote a policy for them.
Now, she said, getting up, their coffee largely undrunk.
We had better take you through your options.
An hour later, and Shannon took German Bite home, leaving the room for the reunion of our hero victims. It was a swift, all-embracing hug, a meet muffled by coat and scarf. It had been an odd night, and though they had been both shielded from the sharpness of the online, they were tired and unsettled. She pulled back first.
So, what do we call you, then?
I'm not sure, he said.
I've seen all the options.
I got pamphlets, she said, excitedly.
I got a PowerPoint presentation. Get you.
So? He paused to breathe. He didn't know.
We could write it out, or I could change it. But I like your name. I'm going off it.
Well, whatever you decide, I'll still love you, she said.
And that's when he realized, that's when he knew precisely what to do.
What is it? She asked, as she saw the strange look pass across his face.
I know what I want to do, he said, the strange look remaining fixed and strident.
What? She asked again, mentally going over the face stroke awareness checklist in her mind.
I want to marry you, he blurted.
Well, she said, I know that, but we were going to save up. Yes, I know, but it's not that.
I want to marry you, and I want to take your name.
You want my name?
Yes. That way, we don't shrink away from this, like name thieves. I had my name robbed today. That doesn't mean I should just rob someone else's name the next. No, that's not it. I need a name I can love. So we celebrate my new name in the best possible way by taking the name of my love. Darling, would you do me the honour of gifting me your name?
He got on his knee to make it slightly more romantic.
Of course I will, if you want it. Now get up, you twonk.
It wasn't quite as straightforward as that. A man can't actually change his name in a wedding ceremony in the same way as a woman. You have to go to Deedpoll. The UN helped with that. They helped filter his online profile, kept an eye on the house, made his number ex-directory, and, generally, his life was kept on an even keel, so that one August afternoon, surrounded by friends, he stopped being the namesake of an infamous mass murderer. He stopped being one of the unfortunately named, and arose as Hewthorpe Rameses Nortnagel, by careful, willful, loving malice of forethought. And now I'm going to fade away while saying shipping forecast zones like I'm a proper person. Viking north at Zira, south at Zira, 40s, Cromarty, 4th, Tyne, Dogger, Fisher, German Bight, Humber, Thames, Dover, White, Portland, Plymouth, Biscay, Trafalgar, Fitzroy, Sole, Lundy, Fastnet, Irish Sea, Shannon, Rockall, Malin, Hebrides, Bailey, Fair Isle, Faroes, Southeast Iceland.
Chris Strasberg!